First Peter chapter 2. I don't usually announce the title of my sermon in the beginning. I let you kind of wonder what I'm preaching sometimes, okay? But I'm going to give you my title tonight, okay? And here it is. Now look at me, and as soon as you get your Bible open, go ahead and open your Bible first. Look at me, and I want you to look, okay? And here's my title. I am what? Okay, here it is. I am what? Now look in your Bible. Wherefore, lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And by the way, I've tasted, and you've tasted, amen? And he is gracious. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up into a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also, it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, that believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity you've given me to minister your word to these dear people these past few days. And they have been so gracious to me, and I thank you, dear Lord, for their kindness, their generosity. They've been so good in so many ways. But Lord, I thank you most of all for the opportunity to preach your Bible, your word, your word. Dear Lord, speak to our hearts through your word tonight. Help me to be a blessing to your people. And Lord, whatever you do, not only tonight, but any time in my life, I'll be more than happy to bend my knees and to bow my head and give all the honor and all the glory unto the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom it belongs. It is in his name we ask these blessings on the service. Amen. You may be seated. One of the greatest hindrances to our being effective in the work of God is that we allow something or someone to determine what we are. It may be an insensitive parent that in your childhood said something that stuck in your mind. You are dumb. You're a troublemaker. You're a slob. By the way, all of those were probably true of some of you, but your parents ought not have said that, okay? Okay. It may have been some teacher or a boss that made some derogatory remark about you. It may have been a coach that said, you're too tall and thin, you're too fat, you're too slow, you're too clumsy, okay? By the way, it may be a mirror that you look in that determines who or what you are. So tonight, what I'd like for us to think about is what God says we are. Don't let somebody else or something else determine what you are. Let me give you a couple examples. Not far from here, there's a church called Faith Baptist Church down in Fredericksburg, Virginia. And the man that started that church was a man by the name of Don Forster. I met Don when he was a student at Tennessee Temple years ago. As a young boy, he was blinded. Now, society and different people could have told Don Forster all of the things that he could not do. But he didn't listen, okay? In spite of his blindness, he finished college. He finished seminary. He was valedictorian of his class. And he received the first earned doctorate from Tennessee Temple University. And then after he got out of school, he and his wife came to Fredericksburg with practically no support, began to knock on doors. Imagine a blind man and his wife knocking on doors to start a new church. And he started the church, and it grew. And it's a wonderful, wonderful church. He's still in the church. Dr. Kurt Skelly pastors that church now. But every time I look at Don Forster, I think, I'm glad he did not let society determine what he could not do. There's another fellow not too far from here in Alexandria. His name is David Rodenheiser. I met David when he was in college. And when David went forward and said to Dr. Jerry Falwell, he said it like this. Dr. Falwell, I believe the Lord has called me to be a preacher. He stuttered so bad he could hardly talk. And Dr. Falwell said, Dave, there's a lot of ways God can use you, okay? But I'm not sure that you can be a preacher, okay? But Dave believed God had called him to preach. And he told me I would get in a room and I would read one verse of scripture hundreds of times until I could read it without stuttering. And he was in the first graduating class from Lynchburg Baptist College, which is now Liberty University. And went to work down in Huntsville, Alabama. And then he came to the D.C. area and started a church. And God has used him many, many years. Has several children, nearly all of them in full-time Christian ministry and so forth. We must not let somebody else determine what we are. We must not let something that somebody has said about us determine what we are. I remember as a young boy, you say you got a good memory, okay? And I do have. But I remember as a young boy, I never had any joy in fighting. Now, every once in a while, I had to fight, and I did when I had to, but I never had any joy in fighting. And so some of the boys would call me sissy, okay? I wasn't a sissy. I liked football. I liked basketball. I liked any kind of ball. I liked to do all those things and so forth. But I just didn't like to fight. By the way, I still don't like to fight. Now, sometimes I have to, okay? I have some friends that brag about being fighting fundamentalists. And I always say, you know, I'd rather be a loving fundamentalist, amen? Now, do you ever have to fight? Oh, yeah, there are things worth fighting for. There's something we have to fight for But love is far more important than fighting, amen? So let's not let others determine what we are. For instance, our culture tries to tell us what we are. As a church, the culture of the 21st century tries to tell us what we are. Listen to what they say. You're outdated. You're not relevant for this generation. You're narrow-minded. You're troublemakers. Wow. But rather than allowing others, the culture, or even yourself, define what you are, let's look at what God says we are. You are what? Or I am what? Keep in mind that Peter is writing to people who have been saved by the grace of God. Look at verse 7 and you find the difference between saved people and unsaved people. And it's very obvious here that Peter is writing to saved people. Okay? In verse 7 he says, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." Now, that's talking to people that have been saved by the grace of God. You who have believed, he is precious. He is talking to people that have been saved by the grace of God, people that are on their way to heaven. And then he talks about another group of people. But to them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made a head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. In other words, he said, there are certain people that are on their way to heaven. That's you. You that believe Jesus is precious. But then there are a great number of people that will not believe. They're disobedient. And by the way, whether they like it or not, they're on their way to hell. And so keep in mind that when we read verse 9, that the Apostle Peter is talking about saved people. So let's let God tell us what we are tonight, okay? And some of you will be surprised, Peter. All right, let's go about it one by one. Look at verse 9. But you are a chosen generation. Wow. You who have believed, you are a chosen generation. By the way, isn't it a wonderful thing to be chosen? You remember when boys used to divide up, you'd have a captain and they'd choose teams. You're going to play baseball or basketball or soccer or whatever you're going to play. And there'd be a bunch of kids there and they'd choose this one and choose this one. And you stand there hoping, I hope one of them chooses me. Or you make the basketball team. Wow, the coach chose me. I'm on the basketball team. It's wonderful to be chosen on a team. It's wonderful to be chosen as a friend, is it not? I tell you what, if you have friends, you're some of the luckiest people in the world. Friends. Chosen as friends. I have friends all over the world. Many, many friends. I have a few real special friends. And I'm thankful that many, many years ago, 30-some-odd years ago, that Dr. and Mrs. Lou Baldwin chose Virginia and I as friends. And I could not begin to tell you what kind of friends they have been to us. I mean, they would go the second mile. In fact, they would go 3,000 miles just to be with us when we were having trouble and so forth. Friends. Isn't it good to be chosen as a friend? And then, all of you married folks, isn't it wonderful to be chosen as a mate? Just think about it, husband. Look at your wife and imagine, she chose me. Why? I have no idea. Amen. you can look at your husband. Sometimes they look pretty good, okay? And you think, he chose me. It's a wonderful thing to be chosen, is it not? By the way, when you chose each other, there were a lot of things you didn't know about each other. It's amazing how much you find out right after you get married. And probably if we revealed everything, none of us would ever get married, okay? But think about it. You chose. I've thought thousands of times, why in the world would Virginia choose me? And probably many times she wondered that too, okay? But to be chosen. But think about it. To be chosen of God. Wow. Like Bethany sang tonight. He chose me. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, he chooses us. He adopts us into his family. We become his precious possession. He chooses us. So you think about it tonight. It doesn't matter about your economic situation. It does not matter about your educational attainment. It does not matter about your health. It doesn't matter about any of the other things. Just to think, I have been chosen by God. Listen to what Paul said about that in Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Hey, by the way, there may be some people that will not accept you. That's their problem, amen? You have been accepted in the beloved. You are in Christ and he is in you, and we have been chosen by God. By the way, we were chosen not just to go to heaven. Thank God we were chosen to go to heaven. We were chosen not just to miss hell, but we were chosen for a purpose. I like the saying, listen to it. You've probably heard it. It's old. Some of you haven't, okay? We are purchased for a purpose. We are redeemed for a reason. We are saved for service. So God has chosen each of you that have trusted him as Lord and Savior. You are a chosen vessel. You belong to the Lord. He has a purpose for you. Then notice the next thing. You are a royal priesthood. Wow, look at that. Me? I am what? I'm chosen of God. I am what? You are a royal priesthood. Now the word royal has to do with you are part of the family. Now in the Old Testament, the prophets spoke to the people from God. And the priests would speak to God for the people. They would make sacrifices and then they would speak to God about the people. And here Peter is saying to us as believers, you are a royal priesthood. In other words, you are part of the family and you have access to the Father at all times. You think about it. I heard a preacher make a very dumb statement years ago. Now, I've had a lot of preachers make dumb statements. In fact, I've made a lot of dumb statements, okay? Thank God they didn't have recorders when I first started preaching. I never will forget years ago, I was preaching about the Syrophoenician woman. and I was studying psychology. I had taken a psychology class, and Virginia said to me after service, she said, "Don, three times instead of the Syrophoenician woman, you said the schizophrenian woman." Okay. And I vowed I didn't do it, but other people said Virginia was right. You did. Okay. So I've said a lot of dumb things, and you have to. But here, he was trying to make people realize how great he was. Now, I've heard some preachers, and before they sang, they ought to have sang the song, "How Great I Am," okay? But here's what he said. He said, "Even my wife or my children have to make an appointment to see me." And I listened to that, Brother Boy, and I thought, you are dumb. Hey, my wife, my children, it didn't matter what I'm doing, the door is open, amen? And think about it. We are children of God. We are a royal priesthood. We have access to the throne at any time. Let me ask you a question. How are you doing in fulfilling that job? Now, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter whether you even have family or not. You're a royal priesthood. You are a royal priesthood. You have access to the throne at any time. How are we doing in performing that task? How about in my prayer for my family? Men, ladies, you can do a lot of things for your children, but you cannot do more for your children than to pray for your children. How about our spiritual leaders? I don't have to tell you at Crossroads Baptist Church that somebody like Dr. Kenny Baldwin has a big target on his back. And if the devil could bring him down, that would be a big step for the devil. How can that keep him happening? By God's people bringing him to the throne of grace day after day after day. Pray for your staff members. Pray for the people that teach your children and so forth. How am I doing as my job as a royal priest? How about my friends? How about my nation? You know, we spend so much time in criticizing everybody in the government. And by the way, just about every one of them deserve it, okay? I'm not holding up for some dumb things that are being done today, okay? But I wonder what would happen if we spent as much time praying for our leaders as we spent criticizing our leaders. I hear a lot of people criticizing young people. And I think, wouldn't it be better just to pray for them? How am I doing in my job as a royal priesthood? What about the world? What about the world? One of the saddest verses in the Bible, Psalms 142. I looked on my right hand, but no man would hold me. Refuge failed me. Then the statement, no man cared for my soul. No man cared for my soul. By the way, there are literally billions of people all over the world tonight that can literally say, no one cared enough to pray. No one cared enough to bring the gospel to me. No one cared enough to give so the missionaries could go. No one cared for my soul. Do you care enough to pray? You're a royal priesthood. Then he said, you are a holy nation. You are a holy nation. Now, the word nation in that verse, and it does in Matthew chapter 28 also, is translated from the Greek word ethnos. And the word ethnos is where we get the word ethnic. Okay? So, with that in mind, I think this is what Peter is saying. You are a holy ethnic group. I believe he's talking to the church, the people that were scattered But they were meeting in different places around the world. Peter's writing to them, and he's saying, you are a holy ethnic group. Now, in an ethnic group, they talk alike. They have similar activities. They get together quite often and so forth. An ethnic group. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Church of the Living God here in Bailey's Crossroads, Crossroads Baptist Church, I believe God would say to you tonight, you are a holy ethnic group. And could I put in here, you are an ethnic minority. In other words, you're different from most of the people, amen? Hey, by the way, that's all right. God's people have always been in the minority, amen? But that's all right, we're different. A holy, a separated, a different type of people. Why in the world do we think that God's people have to be like the world in order to win the world is beyond me. In order to win the world, we're going to have to be different from the world. You are a holy ethnic group. And then he said, you are a peculiar people. And I hear somebody say, yeah, we're pretty strange, amen? We're pretty weird. No, 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 that's not what it means at all. Now, we are, but that's not what it means, okay? The word peculiar comes from two Greek words, which means encircled. Encircled. And here's the way that you can see the meaning of that word. If you would put a dot on a piece of paper, and around that dot, you would draw a circle. Okay, put it in your mind if you don't have a piece of paper. A dot and a circle. Now the dot is you, and the circle is God. You are a peculiar people. You are precious to God. You are so precious that he has encircled you, and nothing can get to you except it come from God or it come through God. Nothing, nothing. And that's the reason we can rejoice in the verse in Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for them that love the Lord, to them who are they're called according to his purpose. We know, it doesn't say we feel like, it doesn't say it looks like. No, no, no. We know that all things work together for them that love the Lord, to them who are they're called according to his purpose. And there may be some times in our life when something is happening and we think there is no way that this can work for my good, but we don't see the whole picture. And eventually, we'll see it. You are a peculiar people. You are God's precious possession. Now you think about it. I don't care who you are. You've been saved by the grace of God. God has a vested interest in you. What? Know you not? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost. God dwells in you, which you have of God. And you're not your own. You're bought with a price. God has a vested interest in you. You are a peculiar people. So let me close by saying this. Don't let culture, don't let the mirror, and sometimes the mirror, it's a horrible thing, amen. Don't let other people define you, okay? Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us walked out of here tonight with this simple realization? I'm chosen by God. We have newlyweds with us, and I congratulate them for being in church on Sunday night again. Amen. That's the way to start your home, you know. And I predict some great and wonderful things for that couple. And just think, you've been chosen by God. You've been chosen by mate. You've been chosen by friend. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. It doesn't matter what you need. It doesn't matter what the situation is. We have direct access to Almighty God. By the way, we've all seen God do things that no man could possibly do. The fact that this building is where it is because of prayer. There is absolutely no way you can build a building of this size on this piece of land. But there is a God in heaven. And he does answer prayer. You're a holy priesthood. Pray for your family. Pray for your mate. Pray for your friends. Pray for your children. Pray for the nation. Pray for our world that we're living in. You're a holy nation, Crossroads Baptist Church. You're a holy ethnic group. You are different from the world. And you are a peculiar people. Let's pray together tonight. I'm going to ask Pastor Baldwin to come. And he'll lead us in a word of prayer. And as we begin to come to the close of another mission conference, what a wonderful thing just to stop and think about. Not what the world thinks about us, but what God thinks about us. What God has told us that we are. By the way, be what God has told you to be.